Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
I'm Erica Wise, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Feast Your Ears. I'm Harry Rosenblum from the Brooklyn Kitchen, a cooking store located at 100 Frost Street in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Join me every Wednesday as I talk with people about what they do and how it influences their personal food stories. This is a show about people, life, and food. You can find Feast Your Ears as well as lots of other great shows at heritageradionetwork.org and on iTunes. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Feast Your Ears. Today, by phone, I have with me Fiona Bohane. Fiona has spent more than a decade on the road with the Dave Matthews Band as a chef, eventually becoming the band's head tour chef for the last 6 years. With 11 tour buses plus local crew to feed, three meals a day, day in, day out, we'll discuss how exactly she and her staff managed to pull that off. 2.5 months ago, she had a baby, Rosemary, and now she's in charge, at least for the moment, with feeding one instead of hundreds. Welcome, Fiona, to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Can you introduce yourself to the listeners and, you know, when you meet someone, what do you tell them you do?
My name is Fiona Bohane. I generally just tell people that I cook, and if they ask what I do or who I work for, I say I work for bands on tour. And then if they ask me who it's for, then I'll say I work for Dave Matthews.
Cool. And did you train as a more traditional, like, you know, sedentary chef in a single space before you went on the road?
No, actually, I am, I guess, self-taught. I started working in kitchens in New York City doing catering after I graduated college, where I studied anthropology. So I worked for a couple years in catering kitchens around New York and then got picked up to tour and learned most of my cooking skills on the road.
Got it. And so, and since going on the road, how long ago was that? When did you sort of go on the road first as a chef?
My first tour was in 2000. I toured with Neil Young and The Pretenders.
Nice. So,
great first tour.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. Two bands I have not seen, but would love to. Do you do you get to watch any of the bands that you feed perform?
Yeah, we do. I mean, most especially when we want to, and we'll make a special effort to find time. I mean, generally, dinner is served until 8:30, so it's well after the concert starts generally, but you can always, like, find time after work, or if, like, there's an opening act that we love, we always make time to go out and at least catch a couple songs.
Nice, and I'd love to know a little more about what your day looks like on the road. So, you know, we had been in email correspondence before the interview about this, and you had mentioned about 11 tour buses and then local crew that you're feeding. And so what does your day look like? I mean, you guys are feeding breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right, to the whole group?
Yes. Yeah, well, I get up about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I get picked up to go shopping at 7. So I go out shopping from, I guess, 7 to 9:30 a.m. There's the rest of the crew. I mean, there's, like, a bunch of us cooking. There's 4 of us in the kitchen and 3 people doing front-of-house stuff. So while I'm out shopping, they're setting up the kitchen and dining room and doing breakfast. And like I said, I shop for a couple hours. I come back, unload, organize, go over the menu for lunch with the kitchen, and we start prepping lunch and pretty much immediately do that, serve lunch around noon. And then once we get that up and running, which usually, you know, takes hour and a half, then we talk about dinner, go over the dinner menu, and then start prepping for dinner, serve dinner at like 5, from about 5 to like I said, 8:30. And then we, you know, before dinner's over, we start breaking down and cleaning up and packing up, and we're packed up and loaded by 10 o'clock at night, 10:30 sometimes. Sometimes 11 on a bad night.
Right. And you're talking that schedule is when you're on a tour that's moving every day, right, to a new venue?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, on Dave Matthews, we have quite a few, like, multiple show days in the same city. So we'll just pack up, clean up, and we'll be done, you know. We could be done at 8:30 or 9 o'clock with that, and then walk away and then come back the next day for lunch and dinner.
Right. How much gear are you toting around with you? I used to do lighting on the road.
Okay.
Not for anything quite the same scale as Dave Matthews, but, you know, I mean, I'm definitely familiar with
still,
loading
we're
tractor
really
trailers.
Just, like, medium size,
yeah.
To be quite honest.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot
sure.
of tours that are much, much bigger than ours, and obviously there's tours that are much smaller.
Absolutely.
But we carry, like, 25 road cases, I think.
Okay.
Maybe a few more, a few less. And yeah, we carry everything with us. We have 3 convection ovens. We have a flat top. We have a Tahoe propane burner. We carry all butane burners. We carry some electric induction burners. Have a pantry case. We have a knife kit. We have, you know, every utensil you could possibly think of ever needing. pots, pans, appliances. We carry mats with us now. I mean, we set up a full kitchen everywhere
right.
we go.
and you do it every day, and then you take it, you dismantle it, and put it away.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty, I mean,
Sometimes it seems a little silly, but then, you know, it works.
And then,
great fun.
How big is the crew that you're feeding? I mean, between musicians and backline, and then you're feeding, I assume, the local stagehands
yes.
as well.
I want to say Dave Matthews Band is about 85 touring. And then we feed maybe, you know, depending on the day, like 20 to 50 stagehands sometimes. And then we feed the local production, and we feed guests and friends and family.
Sure.
So it can get from, usually it's about 150 for dinner. Like we do, what is it, like 70 for lunch, or sorry, 70 for breakfast, 100 for lunch, 100 and... 20 to 150 for dinner, and then sometimes up to 250 for dinner.
So you're basically every morning starting from scratch, building, shopping, cooking, and basically running a successful small restaurant, and then taking it all apart, moving to a new place, and setting it up and
yeah,
doing it again.
I guess so. Put that way, it sounds crazier.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we do. And you know, I would say there's like somewhat of a formula to writing the menus, and, you know, we somehow manage it, and it is a little crazy, but it works somehow. I mean, we have the company that I work for, Dega Catering, has you know at times a dozen different tours out on the road.
Right.
So
sure, and obviously,
it's a machine that once it gets going, it seems to work quite well.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, do you find that there are places that, I mean, you've now obviously been on the road a long time. Are there favorite places of yours to go back to where you know that there's a specific vendor that you can source from, or that you really like the, you know, where the kitchen ends up in relationship to the venue or those kinds of things?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. At this point, there's, you know, a laundry list of places that I love to go to for the food. We work with local farms around the country, and so we get a lot of like local produce, and we also work with local seafood purveyors and stuff. So like where the Ocean Beach in Alabama, we got ruby red shrimp, which I've never had before, which are, I guess, a local like delicacy, and they're these, you know, bright red shrimp that taste like lobster, and they're absolutely fantastic.
Nice.
And Georgia, we get peaches. I mean, all around the South, really, we can get peaches when it's the height of the season. That's
right.
Awesome. I mean, once the summer gets rolling, I mean, there's fantastic food everywhere. And one of the benefits of working with the farms is they pick like their best stuff and bring it to you. So you really get, you know, super fresh, super, you know, super ripe, very flavorful food.
That's really, yeah. That,
which is a huge treat.
And that's, and it's really, you know, I mean, it's nice to hear understanding how the industrial food system works that, you know, on the other hand, I would imagine there probably are some tours that are like this where, you know, you could just schedule it out with Cisco, right? That they meet you with a trailer of everything
I know
you needed.
I mean, I don't think
spot.
Our company really does that,
sure.
But I know that some other, like larger touring catering companies do, order from large, yeah. Food corporations. We, you know, on depending on the tour, depending on the budget you have, yeah, we'll go to Walmart or Sam's Club, and you go to larger scale places. But
yeah.
We're really lucky on Dave Matthews that we have a little bit more. I mean, I have a budget,
right? No, it's
but
great.
It's, there's a little bit more freedom, and I do find that, like, you know, when you're buying from farmers directly, the prices are, you know, lower, and, you know, we buy, I guess, the primal cuts, so, you know, we're buying, like, pork shoulders, and we buy whole chicken, so we break down the chicken, so it takes a lot of the cost
right.
out of buying, you know, grass-fed beef and farm-raised chicken.
No, that's good to hear, right, that's possible, and it's really neat. I mean, you know, we operate at the Brooklyn Kitchen anyway. You know, we know the farms that we operate within our region, but it's interesting to me, and I think it's kind of exciting, you know, not that you get to spend a ton of time necessarily with the farms, but that you get to sort of do that on a much larger scale all over the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, it's great. I mean, there's nothing like ordering pretty much everything a farm has to offer,
right.
You know, in large quantities.
Yeah.
You know, I go to a farmer's market and I buy, like, you know, a handful of each thing to be able to buy, you know, 10 pounds of kale.
Right.
Well, kale, you know, one of many things we buy.
Is there anywhere...
onions, tomatoes, potatoes, everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere that, like, you know, if you were to see, like, next year's tour right now, if it showed up in front of you of where the dates are going to be, is there anywhere that you feel like you really don't like to go because it's just not that good?
No.
Cool. Great.
You know,
I wasn't a leading question.
I'm curious about my favorite cities or what, you know, where I love to go. And I really love everywhere. You know, every place has a, just like a style to it. And even if it is, like I mentioned in Alabama, it's like you had shrimp and then the farmer had corn and potatoes and then you have like a shrimp boil. Like, you know, it's in all these, like Pittsburgh has a fantastic Italian, section it has all
sure.
these great markets and stuff, which is awesome to go to. Cleveland has a fantastic public market and a great food scene.
I've been to that
most
Cleveland
of the cities
market.
We go to, we're really lucky. Like Iowa, you know, you get fantastic pork in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we kind of tailor a little bit to, I mean, tailor a lot, really. I just, you know, see what the farmers have and then make do with that. And it's more than making do. Really awesome. And you know, people that, you know, the farmers take a lot of pride in what they do, as they should, and it's really, it's such a treat for us. We do, you know, the food that I, you know, make and the recipes, I mean, the menus that I make, I think are pretty, like, simple. It's not like we're doing really fancy high-end food, but, you know, in that sense, like, the food really shines. Like, it's simple. Like, you can take a tomato at the height of the season and just put salt and pepper and olive oil on it and it's fantastic. You know, sprinkle some fresh herbs on it and that's all you need.
You're making me miss summer.
Yeah, there's the height of the summer is fantastic. Sometimes early I'm like, oh, you guys have zucchini. Okay, we'll take some zucchini.
Right.
You know, 20 pounds of zucchini. What are we going to do with zucchini right. today, guys? But there is so much to do with zucchini,
yeah.
You know. So,
is the menu at all driven by the preferences of the performers? I mean, do they have any specific requirements that they sort of impose on the kitchen?
I mean, of course, to a certain degree, yes. You know, there's a couple of vegetarians in the Dave Matthews Band, so we, you know, focus, you know, as you know, we should on doing really awesome vegetarian entrees. You know, some people don't eat dairy, some people, you know, there's a vegan, there's people that are eating gluten-free. I mean, we definitely do, but we do a pretty extensive buffet setup, so we can pretty much hit, you know, everything. And I know what the band, you know, what their food preferences are,
right.
And so, you know, they're fairly easily incorporated, as far as I'm concerned, into the menu. I mean, we do soups, two types of salad, appetizers, a red meat entree like pork or beef, and then chicken or turkey. We do seafood. We do a vegetarian or vegan entree, a starch. We always serve some type of like whole grain rice, two vegetables. We do cheese and meat boards. Hmm. We do, dessert. There's a lot.
And yeah, sounds like a nice restaurant.
Solid way. Thank you. We try. I mean, myself and the rest of the people in the kitchen really love what they do, and they're really talented. So it's not, I would say it's not just me. Like, I just come up with ideas and, let the people in the kitchen run with them, So.
Has there ever been anyone that you've, toured with as a chef to cook for, or anyone who's come as a guest of the performers that you were nervous to cook for, or were really excited to have a chance to cook for and meet?
Yes. There's a lot of people that show up by surprise. I'm trying to think of particular. It's escaping my mind right now. I don't know why. Because I'm a big fan of his movies. And I'm sorry, my baby's
No, it's
too.
Okay. I mean,
sudden, everything's a...
No, I have a six-year-old and a two-year-old, and I mean, even... Yeah, there's something about when the kid starts to cry, your brain turns to mush, I get it.
Totally.
So, and is there anybody that you like have your sights on as a tour chef that you would really like to go on tour with and cook for?
In general, I don't want to work for bands that I absolutely love, because I'm kind of like a sucker when it comes to the bands that I adore. That I think I would just be foolish, and I almost don't want to know what they're like in real life because I love them so much.
Understood. Yeah,
it's kind of silly, but. And the guy was Terry Gilliam. He was one of my favorite people to cook for.
Cool.
He worked with Arcade Fire, did, I think, a live concert for them, and came to a bunch of the shows, and that was a real treat because I love a lot of his movies, and he was super nice, and, it was great to be able to meet him and work for him.
Nice. That's really great. We're going to take a short break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll talk more with Fiona. Hey, this is Michael Harlan Turkel from The Food Scene on heritageradionetwork.org. Every Tuesday at 3 p.m., I stop in the studio, walk to the far side, sit in my favorite blue chair. If you ever stop by Roberta's, look through the window, and you can see that chair itself. And I've been sitting here for 5-plus years, 250 episodes, have met some of the best people in the food world, such great culinary minds. And recently we just relaunched our website, added a whole bunch of shows, but we still need you, our listeners, our friends, our fans, even guests themselves, to help us out. We're a 501c3, a nonprofit, and we're not really doing this for the money. We're doing this for the love, for the greater good of the food world as a whole. So get on heritageradionetwork.org, click that little pounding heart in the top right corner, and, give what you can, or just keep on listening. We'd love to have you. Welcome back to Feast Your Ears. I'm Harry Rosenblum. With me today by phone is Fiona Bohane. For more than 10 years, has been a chef for the Dave Matthews Band on tour. In full disclosure, something people probably don't know, we booked this interview today by phone through a mutual acquaintance and later realized that, in fact, we had gone to high school together.
Yes.
It turns out that Fiona and I went to, we crossed paths in the early 90s in northern Westchester for a year. I then went on and moved to California, but the name seemed familiar. So I thought for a minute maybe we could reminisce about northern Westchester. You live there now, right?
Yes, I am. I am back.
One of the things that I remember from living in that area as a kid was the fall was always sort of, you know, as soon as apples came in. I mean, there are some orchards in that area, and that was always for me like one of the big things. When I go back up to that area, my father still lives up there, and you know, I love going there in the fall and, you know, seeing pumpkin patches and getting apples and things like that. Do you find, is that something that you think about in the area, that you like about the area? Are there other?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous up here. I mean, in the color of the leaves, it's really like, it's one of my favorite times of year. And I moved away for, I guess, about 5 years and lived in Las Vegas.
It's a little different.
And I love the desert. I mean, the desert is extraordinarily beautiful as well. But coming back here and being here in the fall is really something else. I mean, I didn't actually go apple picking, but I went to an apple orchard and had some cider and had the old cider donut, and that is one of my favorite treats.
Yeah, I was on my way down 684 from Connecticut a couple of weeks ago on an afternoon with my 6-year-old, and pulled off there in Golden's Bridge to go to Salinger's and get cider donuts.
Nice, yeah. I took some photos of Rosemary laying in pumpkin patches and on hay bales and stuff. So, yeah, it's pretty adorable up here. Well,
yeah,
she's adorable,
yeah.
And it's really nice up here.
And I recently, I mean, I feel like I wish, you know, if I had it to do over again, I think I feel like I wish I'd gotten interested in foraging when I was a kid, because I haven't found them in the past few years, but I have very clear memories of what turned out to be ramps that nobody cared about. I mean, in the late 80s in the woods behind my house, like, I know there were ramps there. I can just, like, I can see those memories.
Yeah,
but we didn't ever pick them and eat them, you know?
Yeah, I always, I still do every once in a while, pick the chives and chew on them. I always love the honeysuckles.
Yep.
And we had spearmint around our driveway, which we always ate as kids.
This fall?
Yeah, never really did extensive foraging. I did some mushroom foraging in outside of Seattle in the mountains out there, which are, the name is escaping me as usual. That was fantastic, although a little bit stressful because, of course, I didn't know the difference between all the mushrooms, but
sure.
The people I was with did, and they were fantastic. I mean, it's beautiful to be out in the forest and to be out in the woods, and then to come home with these, like, nice, you know, treats that are ridiculously expensive in a store, but you can go out and pick yourself. It's awesome.
Yeah, that knowledge is something I've been trying to learn a lot more about mushroom foraging. And earlier this fall, I happened to be in Katona to visit my dad, and I pulled into the driveway and I just took a walk around the house and started looking around, and I found all told in two different visits, I think I found almost 40 pounds of maitake.
Wow.
Mushrooms,
really?
That were just growing under these giant old oak trees. And you know, one of the nice things, I mean, I'm also a serious amateur when it comes to that stuff, is that maitakes you can't really mistake for anything else, so there's nothing that looks like them that's bad. But you know, and of course my father's answer was, oh, those things, they show up under those trees, you know, every year. I thought they were poisonous. And I'm, you know, thinking, oh my God, we could have been eating these things every year.
Yeah, I know. When we first started serving dandelion greens, one of the guys on the crew came up to me and he was like, you know how much time I've spent in my life trying to get rid of these, and now we're eating them. There's a lot of edible food. My boyfriend's a gardener, and he grew up around here and knows way more than I could ever know about, like, what grows around here. And, you know, well, there's a lot of edible food out there that we just don't, you know, take advantage of.
Yeah. So your daughter is now 2.5 months?
Just under.
Just
like
under.
2 months and a week.
Cool.
Almost. Yeah. Yeah, she's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And a lot of work.
Of course. And when did you stop touring?
When I was about 8 months pregnant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I definitely pushed it. I think, by the time I left, I was like, I should have left a week ago. But I'm really glad I did it.
Yeah.
It was great fun to share, like, being pregnant, too, with, like, my tour family.
Oh, yeah.
Because, my boyfriend, it's a summer, so he was working all the time anyway. So it was great to be with my friends and, share that with them. And they all feel like a bunch of aunties and uncles. So
right.
She's well-loved outside of my house, which is awesome.
The folks on tour, are they spread out all over the country? Like, are you going to get to see them as she's growing up?
I hope so. They are spread out pretty much all over the country. I've had two visitors from tour since she's been born, which was great. They had a day off, nearby. In one instance, 20 minutes, I toured with Melissa Etheridge for a couple years, and she was playing in the town over from where I live, so that was awesome. So I got to go over and see the crew and... she got to visit some people.
That's great. And do you, are you planning to take a large chunk of time off? Are you planning to return to touring next year? Have you figured that part out?
I haven't exactly. I do plan on taking a chunk of time off for sure. I can't imagine being away from her for an extent. I can't even leave her for 2 hours at this point.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, I'm not going to tour next year.
I don't know.
Yeah,
she's pretty
really
portable
for farther in the future. There's benefits to it and obviously drawbacks because, I can work for a short period of time, but yet I'm away.
Right.
But if I work here, I'm going to be away for I don't know how many hours a day. So,
right.
All year long. So,
yep.
I haven't really decided what I'm going to do.
Well, until she's mobile, kids are fairly portable.
I always
recommend to friends who have new babies, I say, until they learn to walk, like go out to dinner as much as you can, because once they learn to walk, girls, I've found at least, and this is not always true, but with my children, my daughter, who's older, was very easy and always very sort of, she was willing even after she learned to walk to sit down and, sit at the dinner table and even if she wasn't eating, draw or do something. My 2-year-old son, if he does not want to stay still, you cannot make him. He's...
So I have a lot to look forward to.
Yeah,
I feel like Rosemary, part of, she's a high energy already, and I feel like me being on tour as long as I was, taught her that she could go for extended periods of time.
Sure. Yeah, right. She started out that way, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, she loves being out and about, that's for sure. But yeah, I guess we'll see once she's portable. But we have trips planned, so we're going to take her as much as possible. But then obviously, within reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You could just take her on tour. See how that works out.
We talked about that a lot. One of my coworkers was like, "Yeah, just strap her to your back and she can hang out all day." And the crew's like, "I want to watch her."
Yeah.
But in reality,
that's something that's
going to work out.
Yeah, people only have a good time with that for the first 20 minutes. I've had days where we've had to bring our children to work, and everybody's really excited, and then after 20 minutes, they're like, "Okay, I want to get back to work now."
Exactly. You have to get back to work.
Yeah. Exactly.
The world can't stop for the baby. Except for our worlds can stop for the baby.
Yeah. And
my
ability
to multitask has vastly diminished.
Yeah. And a friend of mine who has children who are a little bit older than mine, when my daughter was first born, he pointed out to me, and I think it's really... it was valuable advice. And I think about this a lot, even as my kids are getting older, that, my son's never going to be 2 again. So the idea of enjoying what that means, even though sometimes that means that he open hand hits me in the face and I have to give him a timeout, whereas other times he wakes up and gives me a big hug, but both of those things are memories that I want. So it's important to take
absolutely.
That time. You mentioned in the sort of pre-show questionnaire that I sent you that your pet peeve related to food was people being lazy.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you can elaborate on that a little bit.
It's something that a chef friend of mine had said ages ago, that when I told him, fairly recently that he said that to me. He was like, I said that? But it's something that stuck with me. And it just, you know, when we're, it could be as simple as making a salad and, you know, how you cut a vegetable or a step that you, you know, just decide to take out because it would be easier, you know, to not do it. It ends up, I think, taking, you know, a little something away from the final dish. And, you know, I mean, this is in, like, you know, our touring kitchen is, you know, sometimes people can be a little lazy and it, you know, comes out in the food in the end and it frustrates me.
I think the, you know, I mean, I think the details, right, are the things that are often important.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much in, like, you know, in food of, like, visual, like how it looks and, you know, of course it matters a lot how it tastes, but, you know, and that also comes through in, like I said, like how you cut something or, you know, the presentation. It's, it makes a difference.
Yeah. Well, Thanksgiving is next week for anyone who's listening live or listens to this in the future. And I'm wondering, did you ever have Thanksgiving on tour, or have you always managed to be off tour for Thanksgiving?
We have had Thanksgiving on tour a couple of times. We haven't had to work. But I think once I celebrated Thanksgiving at Mohegan and Sun, and we had, a catered, we got a room at the hotel there, and they catered something. And then we also had a Thanksgiving in Lyon, France, which was really, I mean, such a treat for us. I guess it was with Arcade Fire, and they had a favorite restaurant in Lyon, and they... It's a small restaurant, and they had them prepare a American style Thanksgiving. Oh. Of course, it was very French, which was such a treat for all of us. You know, but I will say some of the more American members of the crew were not overwhelmed. but it was really, I thought it was awesome. You know, it was a real treat and really nice. I mean, Thanksgiving for me is, you know, about sitting around with a bunch of people you love and, you know, sharing a meal. So that was really nice to be able to do with both of them.
Yeah. And what is, so with Thanksgiving coming up, are you hosting Thanksgiving, even though Rosemary's
so young? I am not. I'm going to my boyfriend's brother's house and they're hosting. I'll make something. I'm hoping.
And what's your favorite Thanksgiving dish as a chef?
As a chef?
I mean, just as someone who spends, you know, probably more waking hours than most people, even the listeners to this food-centric radio station, thinking about food and putting dishes together. I'm curious, you know, I will tell you that my my favorite part of Thanksgiving has always been the gravy and the cranberry sauce. My mom always made cranberry sauce with a like whole orange in it. I mean, it, you know, in the food processor, but you know, the orange and cranberry thing and gravy, those are like my two favorite parts of Thanksgiving.
I do love cranberry sauce. I love stuffing. But I will say that my parents are British, and my mom always used to make bread sauce, which is just it's like milk, onions, and bread, white bread with a crust cut off and soaked in the bread. And I guess it's used traditionally to moisten dry meat. And I absolutely still kind of dream about it, and it's, yeah, it's one of my favorite things.
Nice. Awesome.
Very homey for me.
Well, Fiona, it's been really nice catching up with you, at least over the phone. Perhaps perhaps we'll end up seeing each other in person sometime.
Hope to.
But I think we've run out of time. But I, you know, thank you so much for joining me today. And, you know, I wish you and Rosemary the best.
Thank you very much. It was really nice talking to you, too.
Thank you for listening today to Feast Your Ears. Big thank you to Kristen Baylor, my producer here at Feast Your Ears, and Liz Smith for engineering the show every Wednesday. Please take a moment to like the show on Facebook and iTunes and follow me on Instagram. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website,
or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.